In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the final verse of our gospel text for today, St. John the Evangelist writes these words. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, these words are an echo of some words that our Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke, as recorded earlier in John's Gospel in John chapter 10, where our Lord said this, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So it is that our Lord Jesus Christ has come to give life to his people. And therefore, the season of Easter is the season of life. This past Sunday, we celebrated the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. He was given new life after having gone to death and the grave for us. And so it is that this week, we turn our attention to the implications of Christ's resurrection, moving beyond the fact that he is risen into what that means for us. And so in our first reading, our prophecy for this day from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, we heard arguably the most famous prophecy of Ezekiel's, his vision of the valley of the dry bones. It's a beautiful and vivid prophecy where Ezekiel sees this valley filled with dry, deader than dead bones, and yet through his prophesying, through his speaking on behalf of the Lord, the Spirit of God comes and fills these dry, deader than dead bones with new life, and they are raised to life. In the gospel text, our Lord Jesus appears to his disciples on the evening of that Easter when he rose from the dead, and he too breathes on them. And he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And so it is that we should see this appearance of our Lord Jesus and his breathing on his disciples in parallel to that Old Testament account, that vision of the prophet Ezekiel, where the Spirit of the Lord breathes upon those who were slain and they receive new life. For Christ has not only come, but Christ has been raised from the dead in order to grant us new life. But having been granted this new life, the all-important question is, what do we do with that life? Or maybe even more fundamentally, what is the nature of this new life that we have been given? What kind of life do we receive? And in turn, what does that life indicate for how we ought to live on this side of eternity? So it is for many people that the nature of life, in their estimation, is all about this world. And so for them, life maybe is all about money. And so they set their singular focus upon getting out of debt, increasing their income, and building wealth. For others, this life is all about success. And so they seek, above all else, to find fulfillment, to increase their power and grow their influence in this life. For others, the nature of this life is all about health. And so their lifelong goal is to live a long time, to feel good, and therefore to get the most out of life. For others, the nature of life is about being happy, having fun, removing the negative emotions, and just living a life of ease. Now, I'm not going to insult your intelligence to presume that you think that any of these things are true. I'm assuming that we all agree that the point of Christ's resurrection, that his reason for suffering the horrors of Good Friday, was not in order for you to get rich. Christ did not go to the cross for you to have earthly success, for you to be healthy in this life, and for you to be happy, at least certainly not primarily. I think we all agree on that. You're smarter than that. You know your Bibles better than that. You know the right answer. Why did Christ come? What kind of life does he give to us? Christ is risen, and Christ grants to us eternal life. We know this. But knowledge is very rarely our problem in this life. For example, a smoker knows that cigarettes are bad for him and that they may kill him, and yet he smokes anyway. Someone who speeds on the interstate knows the risks of doing so, and yet they do it anyway. Knowledge is not the problem. So too, for us Christians, we know that we do not live for the sake of this life alone, and yet so often we do that anyway, even though we know better. Christ was raised from the dead in order to grant us eternal life. The scriptures have been given to us so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing we may have eternal life in his name. We know this. But do our actions reveal that we truly believe this? Does what we do reflect what we say we believe? There's two main places that we can look in our own lives to answer this question. We can look at our calendar and we can look at our checkbook, and these things will very quickly reveal to us not only what our priorities are, but what we are living for. And so first, if you look at your calendar, and this may not be a literal calendar if you're not the kind of person that writes everything down, but you get the idea. Where do you spend your time? If you consider this, whether written or mental, then we'll begin to come to an answer to this question. So where do you spend your time? For a lot of us, you probably spend your time working. And that's a good thing. That's a given. The one who does not work shall not eat, says the Apostle Paul. We need to work. Work is a gift of God. But the question that those of us who work must consider is, do we work more than is needed? Are we working and thus chasing money and success rather than the vocations that God has given to us? Then there's sleep. Sleep takes up a good chunk of our days. If you get 8 hours of sleep, that's a third of your day. Sleep is a given. Sleep is necessary. We must do it. But again, like with work, we must consider, do we sleep appropriately? Do we sleep more than is needed? Is sleep becoming an excuse for laziness? Are we seeking health and happiness over and above those tasks which we have been given to do? What about the rest of your time, the free time, the other things that you might do outside of work and sleep? How do you spend that time? Maybe you have a lot of it, especially if you're retired, you may have more than those that work. But whether you have a lot of spare time or just a little bit of spare time, we all have it. The question is, what do you do with it? Do you pour your time into things and into people that matter eternally? Or are you spending most or all of your spare time wasting it, waiting for the next thing to come? So it is that our calendars certainly reveal not only our priorities, but how we think about life and what we think is important and what we live for in this life. So too with our checkbooks. Again, for many people, they may not keep a detailed check register anymore, but whether it's a checkbook, a bank statement, a credit card statement, or whatever the case may be for you, the question is pretty clear. Where's your money going? What do you spend it on? That, just as much as your calendar, will reveal your priorities and what you think life is all about. Of course, there are necessities that we must spend our money on. This is a given. We need a home. There's utilities to pay and those sorts of things. But the question that we should ask ourselves related to these necessities is, do we really need it all? Have we gone overboard, a little more extravagant than we need? Is there better places that that money could be spent? There's also food, entertainment. These are, especially food, a given, a necessity to an extent. But again, we could ask a similar question. Do you need it all? Are you going overboard? Could that money be better utilized somewhere else? Then there's tithing and giving to charity. Are you giving a reasonable percentage of your disposable income after those necessities to these charitable organizations? And just as importantly, do the organizations to whom you give reflect eternal values? Our checkbook, just as much as our calendar, reveals what we believe about life and our priorities and what we believe about the life that Christ has given to us by virtue of his resurrection. Of course, these are a lot of questions, a lot of things to think about. Whether you've thought about these questions many times before or whether this is the first time you have considered them, there's a lot to think about. And these sorts of questions related to our priorities and how we are living the Christian life, the eternal life that we have been given, these are questions that we must regularly be asking ourselves as Christians, because so often we get caught up in this life and going with the flow of this world. So often we can lose track of that which matters most in favor of what is easiest or what the people around us are doing. And so we must regularly be reminded how Jesus gives us true life. These things in the scriptures are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life, eternal life in his name. We must regularly be reminded of this and the consequences that this ought to have for our lives. But here's the good news as you wrestle with these questions. No matter how often you neglect what matters most, no matter how often you get distracted, the word of life is still there. Christ is there waiting. His Spirit is always there ready to breathe new life into your sinful dry bones. And so it is the best of news that we can recall to know that the gift of eternal life is not dependent upon you. Thanks be to God that this gift is indeed a gift which is given to us and is ours in Christ Jesus, our resurrected Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.